Well, good morning. Dave, it may be fine out there, but I'm ringing a little bit here. I don't know if you can shut me down. Shut me back a little bit. Jeez, I would be waiting for saying, amen, shut him down. No. All right, man, I've decided I'm not going to attend any more sporting events. I'm going to tell you why, okay? Okay, you ready? Okay, I think you'll get it here. I'm not going to any more sporting events. The coach never came to visit me. Never did. And you know what? Every time I went, they asked for money. Every time. Had to pay to get in. They asked for money. The people that sat in my row, they didn't seem very friendly. So I'm not going back. Not going back. And those seats were really hard. I'm not going back. And you know what? I don't know who those referees think they are, or the coach for that matter, making decisions that I don't agree with. Who do they think they are anyway? I was sitting with hypocrites, quite frankly. They only came to see really what the others were wearing. That's all they were really there for. Some games went into overtime, and then I was really late getting home. I didn't like that at all. And, you know, the musician that played overhead when they play those songs, you know, little moments, they played songs I just didn't like. I didn't agree with. I didn't like it. Couldn't get into the rhythm. I didn't like those songs. Most of the time now, the games are scheduled on the only day that I can sleep in and take a break. And I just need a break. I'm not going to go anymore because they are only scheduled on the days that I wanted. Or maybe I need to run some errands. And anyway, why do I need to go to games now? Because my parents took me to so many when I was young. I mean, when I was young, we went to games all the time. So why do I need to go to games now? I really don't need to do that. And quite frankly, I know more than the coaches do anyway. Because I read a book. Yeah, I read a book, and I know more than the coaches do, so I don't need to go. And I don't really need to take any of my kids or my grandkids to a game anymore, because I want to give them the freedom to choose the games they want and the sports they want to play. I want to give them the freedom to do so. Ha ha, huh? How sad that seems. That we will often, if we take the same things that I hear on a fairly routine basis and you put them to any other avenue of life, they just don't make sense. Now, that has nothing to do with anything today, except that I thought it was funny. So, I got to tell you another joke. This one will get me in trouble. Are we taping this? Are we broadcasting this service? Jared, are we doing this? Is this live? Rob, are we doing this? Wherever Rob is, I don't know. Anyway, did you guys hear about the magic mirror? The magic mirror, it wasn't like, you know, Ferris. It would tell you the truth, but if you were lying, it would just take you away. I mean, if it thought, you know, you think something is wrong, it's going to, you're gone. So it was some of you know this joke, you're already shaking your head, why are you doing this? So, we'll cut it out of the feed. You guys know I'm crazy anyway. Hopefully no visitors here. Anyway, it's not a cat joke, Bonnie, so you don't have to worry. No cats die in this joke. So this magic mirror, you walk up to it and you say something, and if it's true, man, you are lauded, and yes, it's true. But if you're not true, then you're taken right away. So this red-headed gal walks up to this mirror and says, I think I'm the most beautiful gal in the world. They're gone. She's gone. Mayor just sucks her in. She's gone. Here comes a brunette. I think I'm the most beautiful girl in the world. Gone. Just what a boy. So a blonde comes up to the mirror and says, I think. Gone. Okay. The only ones that aren't laughing are you who are blondes, be it real or fake. You're not laughing right now. And you're pointing fingers. I saw you point fingers. Joe, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. I saw you pointing fingers, Joe. Okay. All right. Hey, we have had, anyway, that, I thought that was funny. Now, today you may need that to laugh a little bit, because today is not going to be the message that's going to be the most, probably the most motivational message you'll ever hear. It can't be in some sense. Oh, I mean, because everything we're going to talk about, every point we're talking about today could be a message in itself. And we're going to cover some ground today. Though may not be the most motivational message you'll ever hear, the reality is it may be the most needed message that we have as individual believers. It may really be that kind of message. I believe it is that kind of message. We have been talking about our treasure. In life groups this week, if you met, you started this series of the treasure. Jesus is everything. And we talked about the treasure, that treasure being the kingdom of God, that he brings within us, that it is within us, that it is with us, and that it is before us. It's within us because he changes our life. He places his kingdom within us. That the Spirit takes residence. We're going to look at that this morning. But he's also with us. This is part of the kingdom of God right here. This is part, his church is part of the kingdom of God. We're part of the kingdom of God right here. Both universal and local, we're part of the kingdom of God. But we also took great comfort and hope, and because the kingdom of God, our citizenship, is before us. We are going to be in a new place, in where our citizenship truly is. And so the kingdom of God is still before us within that process. That treasure, our treasure, placed within us, salvation, forgiveness, knowing the Lord Jesus, that kingdom of heaven. In the last 2 weeks, we've looked at a prayer. The prayer is, Dear Jesus, I want you in the center of my life and commit through your power to serve and obey you. We can usually say that pretty easy, but when we add any time, anywhere, at any cost to do anything. I want you in the center of my life. And what that is saying is, whether you are 11 or 12 years old, whether you are 70 years old, 80 years old, that prayer needs to be for us. God, I want you to be the center of my life. I want the Lord Jesus to be, and I commit through your power to be there. Now, what I want to focus on today is the issue of your power in that line. Your power. He is not asking us to do that which is the impossible. If we take those little words out of that prayer becomes impossible. Trust me, you cannot do that on your own. It's not legalism, because if you take your power out of there, the power that he's talking about, if we take it out of there, some of you will leave it in there and you'll still fall into legalism. You'll still fall into the trap thinking that you have to do this and that you can do that. That you can obey and follow him in your own strength and in your own might. And he is saying you are going to fail. We all will fail. It's his power that is the most important thing within that it's dependent upon him. It's in your power. So what power is he talking about? He is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power within our lives. See, the power of the Holy Spirit, some people say, well, what is the power of the Holy Spirit? How's it seen? But the power of the Holy Spirit is multimodal. It's multifaceted. It has many, many issues of it. The Holy Spirit, again, we could take a whole series on just the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, equal God. He doesn't get broken up in form and fashion. He is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit given to illuminate the Son, and the Son would be to honor the Father. It's always that. You see the Spirit of God in the Word, when you give it, it's always bringing praise and glory to the Son. And Jesus always gives praise and glory to the Father. That's the way it is. But he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, this person of the Godhead that lives and reigns within us. Now, that path of power is the Word. If you want to get in touch with the power of God, if you want to get in touch with the power of the Spirit of God, it's got to be through the Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Remember, he's talking about all the implements of warfare, the breastplate of righteousness. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. For us to know the power the path of the power of the Spirit of God, we must know the Word. In fact, you will see in God's Word, you will see the works that are attributed to the power of the Word will then be repeated as in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the secret of knowing the power of God, when people say, well, I want to know the power of God. The secret of knowing the power of God is knowing the Word. That's what he says. Is that the sword of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, is the Word of God. It's rightly dividing the word of truth that we know the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have His presence within us, His presence produces some things. His presence produces issues in our life. So I want to give you some. There's going to be some verses, and some I'm not going to actually put on the screen. I'll mention them to them. You can write them down. Otherwise, we'd be here forever. And every one of these, when it talks about the Spirit of God, it could be a lesson in itself. Now, let me start again by saying, if you today have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, not about coming to this church, not about, you know, because grandma and grandpa did, or my dad took me, or all those, no. If there's been a time in your life when you realize you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, then today you have the Spirit of God within you. Because it's the very first work that He does is that He indwells every believer. He dwells within us. John chapter 14, verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. The Spirit of God dwelling within us. Now in the Old Testament, if you go back and study, the Old Testament did not, the believers did not have. They looked forward to the cross, and the Spirit would visit upon them. When they called upon the Spirit, He would come in and do them at certain times for certain functions, for certain things. You see that throughout the Old Testament. But in the New Testament chapter, after Jesus Christ died, rose again, He says, you're going to wait for the Comforter. You're going to wait for the Spirit of God, and it's going to come in and dwell you. They waited for that at Pentecost. He indwells every believer. He's not portioned out. You have Him. I often hear, and I know that some of you come from different backgrounds, but it's an anomaly to say, are you filled with the Spirit? If you're a believer today, you are filled with the Spirit. Now, you may not be giving the Spirit your entire life, but when the Spirit indwells in you, He doesn't say, I'm going to give you half of Him, half of this person of the Godhead, and then at some other time you're going to get the other half or quarter. I'm going to piecemeal it out. He says, no, if you're a believer, you are indwelled. Every believer is indwelled by the Spirit of God. You say, well, how can you say that? Because there's so many say, no, you need to have this or that to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't jive. Here's why. Because not only does He indwell us, it says that He seals us. He seals us. In His Spirit, He seals every believer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, the Spirit of God seals you. He doesn't come in part and say, well, you're partially sealed. And what this speaks of when He seals us, this speaks to our eternal security. This speaks to His promise that He says, listen, if you give your life to Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, He comes in, He indwells you today. But listen, you don't have to worry about, okay, am I going to lose it? Because His Spirit seals us, not part of His Spirit. His Spirit in its entirety seals us to the day that we're redeemed and finally in heaven. It's His promise that He has, that you are mine. No man can take you out of my hand. The Spirit of God promises eternal security. When you give your life to Him, He says, man, you are the child of God. Nothing can take you out of my hand. He seals every believer. But that process also continues because not only does He seal every believer, it says that He sanctifies every believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And that is what some of you were. I didn't post the previous verses because there would be too many of us that are all the things that some of you were. Liars, hypocrites, slanderers, drunkards, all kinds of stuff. I figured we didn't need to have that because we know who we are, don't we? And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, cleansed. You were sanctified. You were sanctified, declared righteous. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Man, do you see the gift that we're given when we place our trust in the Lord Jesus? On a theological basis, every one of these could be lessons of themselves. But when you give your life to the Lord Jesus and you place your trust in Him, you are indwelled, we are filled, we are indwelled by the Spirit of God. He takes up residence within our life. It goes back to 1 John chapter 1, where He talks about what communion has light with darkness. Can you have darkness and light in the same place? No, you can't. You can't. And what happens is when you give your life to Christ, he says the light of the Spirit of God is placed within us, and we are taken out of darkness, and we're given the light of the Lord Jesus within us. We are given the light of his Spirit. He sanctifies us. It says he forgives us. We were washed from our sin. Do you realize the great position he puts you in here? That the Spirit of God today, man, if that doesn't just jazz your soul, the fact that God, through his Spirit, washed you. He sanctified you. He declared you righteous. He made you a citizenship of heaven. But what is not said there is it's not by our works. And there's churches and people today who are going to think, man, if you're going to get there, if you're going to be sanctified, oh, yes. Some people feel like, okay, well, Jesus saves you, but then the sanctification process from there, you're on your own, Jack. I got the ball rolling. Now you handle it. And if you do that, if you believe that, then that prayer doesn't make any sense because it has to be in his power and his power alone. It is his power. It is his power that calls us. Part of the Spirit of God is that he calls us to himself. He calls us, and when we give him our life, he indwells us. He sanctifies us. He justifies us. It's the work of the Spirit of God. And if you try to have some man say, no, you got to do this to be sanctified. You got to do that to be sanctified. You have to do this to be right with God. Then what you're doing is Galatians says, no man's going to put me back into bondage. You're trying to take me back under the law. You're trying to put me back under the bondage of that it's about me, that I can do something on my own, and you can't. Man, I'm eternally grateful for there because I'm a screw up. At least nobody said amen. But you know, don't you? Aren't we glad? Aren't you glad that the last week, I was talking to Brian, aren't we glad the last week's behind us? And today, the new day, we have a new day, a new week to go. Here we go. That here we have this ability that he sanctifies every heart. And those are the most theological tenets that you must know about the Spirit of God. But he also gets very personal within this. He says he's our helper and our comforter. You write it down in your notes or tap it on your little phone or whatever you do. John 14:6 tells us that he is our comforter. He's going to send us a counselor, a comforter within that. He comforts us. Corinthians tells us, why does he comfort us? Every one of us want to know the comfort of God when we need it, do we not? Every one of us. You lose, you have lost, you're in grief, or you're struggling with a relationship, or you're struggling with finance. You want to know the comfort of God. You want to see God's comfort in your life. But Corinthians tells us the reason that God comforts you, the reason that God comforts me is that I can turn around. It's not to keep it, it's to give it. So just as he comforts me in all of my troubles, I can then use that as a lesson to comfort others. However, we sometimes block that. We want God to bless us. We want God to comfort us. We want God that. But we often don't turn it around and say, God, you've done this for me so I can do it with somebody else. He's the helper and he's the comforter. He also says of the Spirit of God, write this verse down, 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 10 and 11, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He says that he illuminates the Word. People say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Word. And he says, no, you understand the Word through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, when we pray, God, make this Word, the Spirit indwells you. You have the God, you have the author of the Word living in your life. Do you realize that? We have part of the Godhead living in us. He indwells us. He says he is going to illuminate the Word, that he will help us understand the Word. So many times people say, well, I need somebody to explain it to me, and so I'm not going to get into it until I have somebody to explain it to me. You have the greatest teacher within you. You have the greatest one to illuminate the Word and make it come alive within you. The Word is living. Why is it that every time you can read a verse and then all of a sudden you may have known that verse for years, and all of a sudden, man, bam, something just hits you like a ton of bricks. You say, oh, I didn't even think about that. Wow, that verse, that's the Spirit of God. That wasn't your Wheaties in the morning. That was the Spirit of God. It illuminates the Word. It also says that the Spirit of God gives wisdom and insight. It gives wisdom and insight. You need wisdom? You ask. The Spirit of God wants to resonate within your heart. The Spirit of God wants you to have that Spirit so alive within us that when you hear the false, your spirit's troubled. That the power of the Spirit of God is that you're listening to the Spirit of God, and that power within us gives us wisdom to deal with others, and it gives us wisdom as people try to deal with us, but it also gives us insight into saying, wait a minute, that just doesn't sound right. It talks about your spirit bearing witness with others. It also bears witness with the truth. There's times when you say, wait, that just didn't make sense. Have you ever been in those situations? You ever been said, well, the Bible says, and I'm thinking, God, I don't think it says that. Or I don't think that's the context by which it was meant. Or perhaps it's just like, that's a lie. That's just not true. And it's the wisdom of the Spirit of God within us that gives us that wisdom and insight. I know I get in trouble for saying it, but I say it anyway. And that is, I believe it is the Spirit of God that gives you a spiritual crap detector. I do. I think it's just the Spirit of God within you saying, smells funny. That doesn't seem right. I believe it's the Spirit of God that gives us insight and wisdom within that. It also says the Spirit of God is what convicts and corrects. And it's that Spirit of God dwelling in us when all of a sudden the conviction, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes. When perhaps our response isn't correct, perhaps our words aren't correct, perhaps. And it's the Spirit of God that makes us sensitive to those things in our life. It corrects us. It's that parakaleo that comes alongside to comfort us, but it also comes alongside to say, listen, this is what needs to be done in your life. That's why we would say when we listen to the Spirit of God, are we saying, God, you don't want it to be a mystery in my life of what I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to act. Make it clear to me. And it convicts us, corrects us. It makes us sensitive to his leading in our life. This last week, I had an opportunity to have a conversation with my granddaughter. She happens to be here, so I asked her permission to do this because she usually is not here. They're usually, my daughter's playing over in Tracy and Emery's over in Tracy with them. But I had a conversation this week with her, and she was troubled. And she said, Papa, I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you. And she was troubled because even at her young age, she said, I don't know why the world has to be evil. Now, that's a big picture, right? I mean, we understand every child is going to come to the wow. As you start to mature and grow up, you realize not everything is great. But it became more personal to her because as people that she was hanging out with who claimed to know Jesus, who would claim to be churched people, but their talk wasn't. The words they said, the things they said, the cuss words they used. And she was troubled by that to the point of tears. Now see, I don't think that's just the emotions of a 12-year-old grandchild. I think that's the Spirit of God in a person who wants to live for Jesus. I think that is the emotions of a person as you watch the students worship here on Sunday night. Some of you don't, because some of you students have a bad attitude and you don't want to live for Jesus, and you're going to be the ones who lose. And you can have a bad attitude and you can cuss, but guess what? People notice. So you know the lesson to her? The lesson for me to her is that you can't change them, but you can determine in your life that, God, I'm not going to be like them. I want the Spirit of God alive in my life to be fresh in my life. And you know what will happen? Is it says, the Bible says that people will look at you not in a proudful way, you do it as under the power of the Spirit of God, but that people look at you and say, no, something different. Be the difference. Live the difference. She's 12. I'm 61. Do I have that same sensitivity? Do you? We claim to know Jesus. We claim to walk with him. But is the Spirit of God so alive in our life that he convicts us of the issues of our heart that shouldn't be there? The responses of our mouth, the meditations of our heart. He convicts and he corrects. One of the greatest things he does as well is he intercedes on our behalf. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What's all that saying? I'll tell you something. There's some determinists who say we in our men's group, our warrior work on Monday nights, when we come, there's the plug, guys, 5:30. It's a great time. We got down on our knees this last week and prayed. Wonderful time. 5:30. But listen, you know what? When there's words we can't even begin to express things with, when the travails of our heart, when we don't even know the words to say, whatever the issues, hopeless in your heart, he says, listen, when we don't know what even what to pray for, we don't even know what the will of God is, the Spirit himself is interceding for us. Does that not just thrill you? Isn't that comfort to know that when I can't even think of what to pray, I don't even know what to say, the Spirit of God within me is interceding for us. It also tells you something else. People who say, well, you don't need to pray because God's already determined. There's nothing. If we don't need to pray, how come the Spirit prays for us? Maybe I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but somehow that just doesn't make sense if you tell me I'm not supposed to pray, but the Spirit of God does for me. He intercedes for us. He empowers our ability to share. In Acts, he says, listen, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to be witnesses unto me. And man, you're going to prioritize that. And in my power, you're going to share the Lord Jesus. You're going to share what he's done. The Spirit of God within you is going to give you the strength to be that witness. He empowers our serving. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the Spirit of God and the gifts that he's given. We've looked at that. That every one of you who is indwelt by the Spirit also has a gift of the Spirit. He gives you a gift to be used in the family, whether it be serving or giving or administration of helps, whatever it may be, God gives you gifts to be used. He gives us the power to serve. We shouldn't be serving in our own power. That gets old real quick. But we must be serving. The point is that we don't serve. The point is how we serve and what he empowered us to do. It empowers our Christ-likeness. Man, Galatians 5, that is what Jesus, that's what the Spirit of God does in our life. You want to be Christ-like? Yes. We want to be more conformed to his image? Yes, we do. And then that's what he says, hey, listen, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, patience, all those things that show Jesus come from the power of the Spirit of God within us. It's not natural in this day and age to show love. It's not the godly love that Christ loved. It's not natural today to put yourself second to everybody else. It's not natural to value others better than yourself. That is the power of the Lord Jesus, the power of the Spirit of God conforming us to his image. He produces that Christ-likeness. So the Spirit of God, as I say, is multimodal. It has many facets. When you talk about, well, what's the power of the Holy Spirit? I've just given you a whole bunch, and guess what? There's that many more. Go to the Word. Find the Word. See where the Spirit of God, what he does in our life. But you're indwelled today if you know the Lord Jesus. He's taken up residence within you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to. But the goal here, the goal of the Spirit of God is to honor the Lord Jesus and to reveal Christ in us. That's the goal. To reveal Christ in us. That we would be that visible representation of the Lord Jesus. And it's through his power changing us. It's through his power that we are devoted to the issue of saying, I want your power within me. I may my weakness be strong. And that prayer is continual. That God, I want to know your heart. I want the Spirit of God to rule within me every day, every moment, to walk in the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit. It says, I'm considering God in every event of my life, every step of my life. And the Spirit doesn't want to become a mystery to you. He wants to illuminate the Word. He wants you to know what God says. He wants you to discover all that he has for you. You cannot live the abundant life as John 10:10, which we so famously love to quote, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. You cannot have that without walking in the Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just not possible. So today, guys, when we look at the treasure, do you see what God has placed within us? That we are a temple of the Spirit of God. We're housing the Spirit of God in our lives. He wants to communicate with us and all these things that we talked about. That his work is done in our life and he seals us and dwells us, sanctifies us, takes us off that spiritual treadmill and says, get off, I'm doing the work. I'm doing the work. And then we can pray that prayer that in everything, anytime, any way, that I will honor you, do whatever, because it's through your power, not mine. In my weakness, you're made strong. I hope, like I said, this is not the most motivational message you'll ever hear. But let me just tell you, it's probably the most important one you'll hear. That the power for us to live take, the power for us to avoid temptation, the power for us to escape in such so many ways, it comes from the power of the Lord Jesus, the power of the Spirit of God in our lives that we submit to and say, God, I want your Spirit to rule in my life. And if we walk out of here today saying, God, I want the Spirit, your Spirit in my life to be so evident, to make my life, to reveal you to the world. The purpose of the Spirit was to honor and magnify the Lord Jesus. And in our life, what he does in us is causes our life to reveal and magnify the Lord Jesus. Father God, this morning as we come, I pray that in every heart here this morning, your Spirit who dwells within us, this is what's so great about what I do here, is it's not based upon me, it's based upon the Spirit within us. I pray your Spirit will convict, your Spirit will open the eyes, your Spirit will challenge in the hearts and lives of every person here today. May your Spirit live within us, be within us, and may we give you full reign in our lives. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.